Hi, and welcome to Wasted Takes, episode 310, which is the area code for Beverly Hills, California. I am Trey, joined, as always, by Cameron, because he is prompt. He is on time, 9:30. He's going to be on. The other two are supposed to be coming. Here comes Dylan. How are we doing, gentlemen?
It's 9:30.
It's 9:31. This is good for you, though. This is quick for you. How are we doing?
Good, man. We're good.
We got a bit of a tough one tonight. Tucker forgot his computer, so we're gonna probably have to take a 10-minute break because we got a lot to get to. Winners and losers, of course. Winner, the New England Patriots are back in the Super Bowl. They're back. America's worst nightmare is fully back. I'm fully back, some are saying. But yeah, we'll get into that. Take wise poll, no poll this week as of yet. Due to a delay from Tucker's end. So no blame to Dylan there. And I did pick up the other point last week that was still up in the air because I did a long poll, and that long poll only got one vote. So we had an extra 24 hours for the guys to get in there and vote on it, and I was the only one. So it's a tough result for the boys. That's why I'm the reigning taker of the year. Any other winners and losers? Parlay lost. Dylan and Cam sharp. Tucker and I, or Dylan and no, Dylan and Tucker sharp. Cam and I not.
Let's go.
All right. We'll just go into Waste Takes then. A lot to get to, so we're gonna try to keep this brief. Big Super Bowl matchup is set: New England Patriots and Seattle Seahawks. A rematch, of course. But the coaching matchup is interesting to me. Two defensive head coaches coaching in this Super Bowl. Vrabel, of course, was a linebacker and then a defensive coordinator in Houston, among other stops in his coaching career. McDonald coming from the Ravens, and he currently calls the plays on defense for that team. So before this matchup, it had been all offensive head coaches since 2018. Bill Belichick was the last defensive head coach, which is kind of crazy to think about. Obviously, it's been Andy Reid a ton, but Sirianni's an offensive guy. Shanahan's an offensive guy. Taylor and McVay, offensive guy. So it's been a lot of offense, and now we have a defensive renaissance. And I think going forward, we're doing a 10-year take. I know we hate these takes. We're doing it. This next decade, we're going to see a defensive head coach in the Super Bowl every single year. Now, I was thinking about this. I had to make it wasted, so I did decide to do the 10-year mark. But, you know, there's not a lot of options. You've got Vrabel, not saying that we're going to be back every time. You've got McDonald, obviously. You've got the guy that just got hired in Baltimore, D'Amico Ryans. There's some defensive guys out there, but the offensive guys are still going to be prevalent. So it's not going to be totally defensive, but in my opinion, these defensive coaches are better head coaches because I think the offensive guys get stuck in the play sheet. I think that when you're calling plays on offense, it's a lot more complex than calling plays on defense. So the defensive head coaches usually give up defensive play calling responsibilities. That's not really the case with the Seahawks, but every other team that happens. Offense, you get too tricked up in calling your plays and too tuned up, and you lose track of the clock, you lose track of situational football. So I'm going to go ahead and say that defense is back. We're going to see a defensive renaissance, and there will be a defensive minded head coach, defense coming from the defensive side of the ball, in every Super Bowl for the next 10 years. That's my take.
I love this take. You want to know why? Because John Harbaugh, big defense guy.
Yep.
I'm very with it. The Giants, the most bet Super Bowl champion right now for next year. The Giants are coming in, just hired the Titans defense coordinator. I think that's just a hoax. I think John's going to be running the defense. And I think that this is the way going forward. Now, granted, you got guys like Clint Kubiak out there. Joe Brady's a big name now. Cliff Kingsbury, but I think the defensive mind is where people are going. Jesse Minter, the Halfley, the even McCarthy. I forget if
He's an
McCarthy's
offensive guy, I think,
awesome.
McCarthy.
Right. Nonetheless, I think defensive coaches are a little bit more sought after. Like the Dolphins, you wouldn't think that they were going for that. But yeah, mostly I just agree because the Giants have one. So
He's a special teams guy. Let's not forget that. So he, I'll give it to him though. Dill? You with us,
good.
brother? Hello? All right. Sounds like Dill's having a mic problem. Tucker just joining the pod. Did you get the take? Defensive head coaches. Dill, you there? Can't hear you.
What is happening?
What's going on? Tucker, are you there? Is anybody here? Am I talking to myself?
I hear
Just
you.
me and Cam?
It's always been
I
us.
hey, mark me down.
Oh, tough.
That is
Appreciate the
a mute
accountability,
for
though.
Tucker. Yeah,
Appreciate the
that's a
accountability.
mute. I'm apologizing. I didn't know that I'd come in muted. I'm on my phone for the first time. But yeah, I disagree. I am anti this. Is the Seahawks coach, I didn't hear, the Seahawks coach a defensive guy?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And maybe, I mean, but I am going to be anti this take due to the fact I just like offensive-minded head coaches. I think that the biggest thing that you can be is a guy that can develop a quarterback, and I think an offensive-minded coach is better at that. But yeah, I mean, I like the take because I think maybe a second Patriots dynasty is incoming, but outside of that, I disagree with this take just off of the premise. I like a offensive-minded head coach. It's always been my stance on this. So no.
All right. Who has a take for us?
I have a take. I'm going to get it out there now. One, because I don't like my other takes. I could make a weak shitter take. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get this out because the earlier I get it out without seeing anything further, the better it's going to look for me. And I'm going to the draft, the scouting, the quarterback class. I know Fernando Mendoza is going to be the number one pick. It's pretty much all but set in stone at this point. Dante Moore decided to go back. Good for him. The Jets, maybe they take a quarterback, maybe they don't. I actually think they do not take a quarterback in this draft because they are not good enough at scouting like me. I see a guy in this draft class who I think is going to be special.
Please say what hope you're going to say.
I don't think, no, it's not Pavia.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, no. Pavia's a wannabe
Three feet tall.
Manziel waiting to happen. No, this guy's a smooth, clutch playmaker who I watched in this playoff take a team with no head coach and just will his way through these games. His defense did nothing for him. He proved himself time and time again, did not make mistakes, did everything he could for his own team. Just wasn't the last guy to touch the football, unfortunately. And it's Trinidad Chambliss. Now, I watched
Trinity.
a similar thing happen with Patrick Mahomes in college. Good team, great offense, could not play defense, got out, just outperformed the defense. Against Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma in a thriller. That's what I thought of when I saw that game. The playmaking ability, the running around, the making throws in the run accurately. But the biggest thing that I saw with Trinidad Chambliss is his pre-snap recognition is unbelievable. He was making line calls that I do not see anyone in the NFL make. You think Bryce Young is calling out line switches at the no, he's panicked and he's just going to throw it and he's 4 feet tall. Sorry, Bryce, he caught a stray. Trinidad Chambliss was by far the most impressive quarterback that I saw. Yes, Fernando Mendoza has the storyline. Yes, he's a great guy. He was in a great system with a bunch of old people, and he threw a lot of comeback routes. I don't think he'll be great, to be honest with you. Trinidad Chambliss is a game changer. Granted, he is 6 feet tall. That is a downfall of him.
Is he 6 feet tall, 6 feet tall, or is he like 5'10", 6 feet
Yeah, I
tall?
think 6 feet tall, 6 feet tall. But nonetheless, another thing is he goes from Ferris State and then he goes to the SEC and it's just calm, like cool, collected. I'm going to do what nobody else has done in Ole Miss history, make it to the semifinals of the stage. Unbelievable performances from him. And he doesn't really have like the big stats, to be honest with you. You just got to watch him play the game. Here's the take: Trinidad but Chambliss is going to be the closest thing we see to Patrick Mahomes. Now, I know this is a broad take. I'd said the same thing with Trae Young and Kobe Bryant. I'm not going to put wins on it. I'm not going to put
That's an old one. I forgot about that thing.
not going to put like he's going to win this many Super Bowls because you go to the wrong team and that doesn't happen. I'm not going to put that he's going to have 5,000 passing yards. But I'm going to say it's going to be noticeable. He's going to have an MVP or two. That's the take. He's going to Trinidad Chambliss is going to have an MVP in his first. What did Mahomes have it in? Second season?
Second season.
Second season. Trinidad Chambliss, second season MVP. That's
All
the
right, so I became familiar with Trinidad based on Parker Waugh. I don't know if Sam is out here listening, but obviously he's the biggest Ole Miss fan I've ever seen, and he had a Trinidad flag he would bring to games and stuff like that. So now here's something I don't like about this kid: he's suing to get to play more college football.
I thought it got denied, but
Did he?
you could be right.
I just looked him up because I wanted to make sure that he was coming out. Oh no, hearing scheduled for February 12th. So, anyone to me that is fighting this hard to remain in college football is not ready for the NFL. Now, if he wins this lawsuit and goes back to school, he'll be 24 coming out, which is ancient. So he'll probably be pretty good if you look at guys like Nix and Daniels in their first year. Will he be good down the line? I'm going to say no because I don't like this move. If you're a good player and you're 23 years old, which is basically 50, we've decided, in quarterback years, you should be coming out and gearing up for the NFL draft. Now, I know he probably wants to up his stock. That's probably reason number one. Just went to the tournament, had a good year. But I take it, strike while the iron's hot, go into the league, be the underdog story like Mahomes. But he wants to go, he wants to stay in college, and
That's what
it's
I
time to
think.
get a job. Time to get a job.
I think you're right. I think it's the quarterback class that he maybe doesn't feel strongly that he's going to go in the first or second, and he's going to make more money in college than he went in the will in the NFL. So he's just taking a chance here. If he doesn't get it, great. I'll go to the NFL. But got to prove it at the combine. I think he'll prove it at the combine, and he'll end up being a first round pick.
I am good on the Fernando Mendoza slander. I like Fernando Mendoza. I don't think he's gonna be good.
Okay.
So I can see him being the best. I don't see him being an MVP. Too short.
Okay.
As soon as I heard 6 feet, I was out on him.
We're talking about Trinidad Chambliss,
No,
however.
I'm saying I
Oh, okay.
like the Fernando Mendoza slander. I like that you're saying he's not gonna be the best. But as soon as I heard Trinidad Chambliss is 6 feet, I'm out on him being an MVP. Can't be an MVP at 6 feet.
Drew Brees. Did he win one? May not have.
Breeze, an MVP? I don't
I
believe
don't
he won
know.
an
I don't
MVP.
think. I don't think he did. Probably should have.
Can't win an MVP at 6 feet. I don't make
Dylan
the rules.
is having fits. He's been in and out of this call 5 times now, trying to figure out his mic. So we won't get his analysis. Tucker, your take?
Yes. I have a Shadur take.
Chidusi.
As we know, Shadur Sanders has made the Pro Bowl. An absolute sham. I mean, the guy had 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and like 1,200 yards and like a what, 2-5 record. Maybe the biggest joke of the Pro Bowl of all time. I think he was the 16th quarterback in the AFC call. I think they called every single QB before him. And I think Josh Allen turned it down. Oh, no, Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are the two QBs.
No, they turned it down because they're hurt.
Who are the two currently? I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
I don't know,
This
maybe
is
you're right.
a stupid thing that the NFL does.
But let's go through the NFL QBs. I'm pretty sure it's Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, from what I remember.
I could have read it wrong.
Geno Smith, hurt. Patrick Mahomes, hurt. Bo Nix, hurt.
Drake May was
Cam
top
Ward,
three.
I think, also turned it down. Probably, I heard that he is hurt. I'm not sure about the validity of that, but I heard that he is hurt. Trevor Lawrence turned it down. No way they called him before Trevor Lawrence. Daniel Jones, hurt. CJ Stroud absolutely turned it down. He's ashamed. Aaron Rodgers turned it down.
Definitely.
Joe Burrow, hurt. Lamar Jackson, hurt. Whoever the Jets QB is at this point, who knows? Because they've had like seven this season. Tua, hurt. I think that he was legitimately the 16th call. They're like, look, we need someone. Next up is Justin Fields, and he was a backup this season. So I think that this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing the Pro Bowl. Shedeur Sanders was the 16th guy called.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a stupid event. It's not even a game anymore. It's just throw the ball around and make catches. It's stupid. The whole thing should be just replaced. It should be gotten rid of. There's no need for it. The NFL is embarrassing itself, Tucker. I mean, this is the same. Mac Jones made it, and now everyone in Patriots Nation, including myself, was like, "Oh, Mac Jones is a Pro Bowler. He's a Pro Bowler," but now everyone's going to be like, well, Shitter's a Pro Bowler. Shitter's a Pro Bowler. Doesn't matter. Stupid thing. They should replace it with like a Madden tournament or something. I don't know. There's nothing they can do. I think maybe move it after the Super Bowl, like they used to have it. People used to play in it after the Super Bowl. Or you need to incentivize it in some way, make the game matter for some reason, make the winning conference gets to pick the, gets to be the home team in the Super Bowl, something like that. I don't know. I agree with you, Tucker. He was the last guy on their list they called. They went through everybody before him. Cam?
Yeah, probably. I mean, maybe not Tua, but if they're hurt, maybe they skipped over.
I think you call Tua before you call Shadur.
I don't think they would. I genuinely don't. Anyway, yeah, I guess I agree. Also, Johnny Unitas, Fran Tarkenton, both NFL MVPs, both 6 foot. I looked it up.
All
But yeah,
right.
doesn't deserve to be here.
So Dylan still not here. So we will forego his take and we will begin to talk about the championship games, AFC and NFC. We'll start in AFC, obviously, because it is of importance to this podcast and because it was the first game played. And the New England Patriots have advanced to their, I think, 11th Super Bowl,
12.
12th Super Bowl all time. No, not working, Dill. So this game, I think this game brain broke a lot of people. And here's the reason why. Obviously, the game was not an entertaining product for the general public. For the casual fan, this was not a game that you turned on and went, wow, the NFL product is at its best ever. And it's upsetting people, and people are now calling for the neutral site games and things like that. This game has also convinced the general public that the Patriots are terrible and that they're the worst team to get to the Super Bowl ever. I couldn't disagree more. They've been very lucky. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, and they've been very lucky, and I'm not discounting that. However, this team has found different ways to win all season. They were one of the best teams on offense during the regular season, and now the defense is playing out of its mind. And this game was exactly what they needed to do. They didn't turn the ball over once, and that's all it took. Stidham turned it over twice. That's all it took. So just from the game perspective, I mean, the defense is balling out and they shut down the run, which I said they needed to do. And they couldn't do anything when they shut down the run. I think they came out low energy. I think they thought we got this in the bag, and then they turned it up.
Hello.
Dylan, there he is.
I don't
What?
know. It's not my headphones that are the problem, apparently.
I don't know. He figured it out though.
I'm just talking to you like I'm talking on the phone.
Lost my train of thought, but
I'm
we're happy to
sorry.
have Dylan here. No problem.
Turnovers.
Turnovers, didn't turn the ball over. Stidham did a boneheaded play. And, you know, they haven't been great on offense so far this postseason, but they haven't really needed to be. The elements obviously were huge. I don't want to go into it too more, and that's too much, so we can just kind of have a natural conversation. But Dylan, if you want to give a take first.
Oh yeah. So first off, heard Cam's agree, heard Trey's agree, didn't hear Tucker's probably disagree. So
No, you would have agreed. You would have liked this.
obviously Patriots in the Super Bowl. A lot of news will be circulating. Patriots fandom, New England, Boston in general in the next couple of weeks. You know what that means? A perfect time for someone to hide, and that would be John Henry. Not fan friendly. Boston Red Sox news will come out. Shh. Right around the Super Bowl, because that's the best way you can hide it. Something bad. He's a snake. We don't like him. I
We
don't
don't
know what
like
it
them.
is, but it's going to be something, and it's going to be soon. Maybe like right on the eve of the Super Bowl, or right after Monday morning. Something bad. That's the take.
Yeah, I love it. We've seen this before. I don't know if the Red Sox did it, have done it. I'm sure they have. I know for a fact the Bruins did it. They fired Claude Julien the Monday of the
Oh,
Super
that's what it
Bowl.
was.
So Boston owners love to do this, especially the slimy ones. I'm ready to rescind his invite to come on this podcast. I think maybe he should be banned from the podcast, John Henry. I'm ready to do that. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to get into some more owner talk either later or next week. But yeah, they're going to something bad's going to happen, or they're going to make a dumb decision, and they're going to probably trade someone, and they're going to bury it. Because that's the way they operate. He is a spineless fraud. Tucker?
I agree. I think it's the right time for him to do it, and I'm sure he'll do something cowardly.
Especially if they win, they will be buried. Cam?
Yeah, sure, Dylan. I agree with you. Good take.
All right. Back to the game. Cam, we're going to go to you first because everyone is hating on the Patriots right now and hating on this game. And I want to know if you thought this game was at all entertaining. And I want to know if you are with the general public thinking that the Patriots are terrible and that they
You're
were gifted a Super Bowl berth.
no. That's not at all what I would say. I would say I agree with this. I said the Patriots are can dethrone the Giants, and I wouldn't say they dethrone the Giants as the worst team to ever win a Super Bowl, because the Giants have that locked in. That 9-7 Giants team that beat the Patriots just went on, but they performed unbelievably in the playoffs. I think the Patriots are the best product of a bad conference, and that's fine. That's football. I think that the AFC has put out the worst product of football in its history, aside from the two games that the Bills played in. And so I'm not hating. You definitely had some luck go your way, but you get the games that you're given. If you beat the Seahawks, given full strength, then it's all good. It's all good. If you get beat bad by the Seahawks, yes, everybody was right. What matters more is that I believed in this team. I always have. I knew they were going to pull it out, not because I think they're that good. I truly don't, but I know New England football has devil magic working for them, and I bet on it, and it works because some quarterback on the other team thinks this is the Patriots. I need to throw the ball the wrong way every single time, every single game it happens. And I know it's going to happen. I know when it's going to happen. I know the play, the snap count, everything. And I benefit from it. And I don't lose much sleep over you guys winning anymore. The Brady Belichick days were bad. There was a rivalry between us. My team stinks. Your team's fine and not that insufferable anymore. And frankly, do I think you're going to win? Yeah, I do, because I think there's devil magic and something is going to go awry, and I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm just not. It's over. There's devil magic. I'm betting Patriots. I'm going to do it. I've been doing it all season. They want me a lot of money, and I don't think they're that good. No, but they're the best of what they've played. They've been the better team every single time. Can't deny it, and it is what it is.
I think there's no doubt in my mind coming off this game that God is a New England Patriots fan. I said it. The fact that they have had this run and everything has gone right for them, no injury history really, and these sucky quarterbacks and the injured offensive line and the injured quarterback, and they're having a tough game, and it looks like Stidham has something, and they're not moving the ball, and things are just not going well. Boom. Massive, massive snowstorm. One of
Let
the
me go.
big, probably the worst snowstorm I've ever seen live watching a game. Like I remember some games in the past, but like I can't remember. I don't remember the Tuck Rule game, but like this was insane. It wasn't just snowing; it was a blizzard with like tornadoes of snow on the field. Tucker, you have been a optimistic Patriots fan for the past 5 years. You have for a long time really picked them to pull themselves out of this rebuild and finally get back. For the past couple years, you've kind of taken your foot off the gas, which I think is totally fair. I think nobody would expect them to be here at this point. How are they doing it? How are they back already after some teams have been rebuilding for 15 years or more?
Yeah, it is surreal. I'll tell you that much. And I'll tell you what, I've been right the whole time. When I was hearing from you guys that we need to win now, we don't, it doesn't matter that we're going to get a top pick so we can get a quarterback. We need to start winning football games. 4-13's bad. I hear a lot from Trey that he's right 99% of the time.
I'm right on this too, by the way, but finish your thought.
I'm right. I've been right the whole time. It's about the long game. The bad seasons were what we needed. I thought that we could rebuild, but God damn it, this was faster than I ever imagined. Like, this is crazy. I can't believe that we're here. This team's defense is playing unreal. Mike Vrabel has this team going. The offense, I'll say this about the offense. They weren't good. They did exactly what they needed to do. The key to this game was do not turn the ball over. And that's what they did. They did everything they needed to do here. Could not be happier.
So here's where I disagree with you though. They won games in that season that put them at the fourth or the third pick to get Drake May. If they had gotten the first pick or the second pick, we wouldn't have Drake May. And in my opinion, I don't think Jayden Daniels might get you to this point. He did it last year, sure. And I don't think Caleb gets you to this point. I think Drake May is better than both those guys, at least at this current moment.
Yeah, I'll say I think so too,
They
but
would not have taken
I'm
May
not
with one
gonna
or two.
say that Caleb Williams is this here. Like Jayden Daniels and Caleb Williams both have had incredible years. Jaden Daniels obviously was last year, not this year. He spent most of this year injured, but those aren't guys that can't get you there, you know? And I don't think this is a one-man show of just Drake May just willing a team. This is a full team effort. Our defense is playing incredibly. Ramondre Stevenson has become a weapon. Like it truly is just impressive. Like it's a full team, and when one part of the team is playing poorly, the other sections lift them up. Like Drake May has had a couple of bad games, and the defense has just been impeccable. So I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, it's Drake or nothing. It's a full team effort.
I think Drake May is a massive reason they are in the Super Bowl. And
I
he's sure
100% agree. Drake May's awesome.
I don't think you get the same results with the other two guys. So I'm sticking by my original stance that winning games is good, even if you're competing for a top 10 draft pick. If you punt on those games and you end up with Caleb Williams, I don't think you're in this spot. I think you're probably good. You're probably in the playoffs. I don't think you're in this spot. So staying on May as we go to Dylan. I think in this game, they told him, do not turn over the ball. Tucker, you're 100% right. That was the key to the game. They told him, you know, he had six fumbles in the last two games. They said, hold on to the ball, be careful, think about where you're throwing it, don't throw picks. And he did that. And I think we're seeing that's part of the reason he did not play very well. I think his footwork was terrible in this game. I think he was worried about turning the ball over. So they got to find a balance between that and slinging the ball. They got to find that. I also think that he's probably dealing with a little bit of an injury. There's a story going around that he hurt his shoulder. I noticed it on the play. I was watching with Nina. I said to her, "Oh, he's hurt. He's hurt. You're fine. Get up, blah, blah, blah." I don't think it's a major injury. I think this is something that's probably been nagging him for a couple weeks. That he probably re-aggravated on the play. I don't think it's going to make a lick of difference in the game. If he's bad, it's just because he had a bad performance. If he's good, it's because he's good. Like, I don't think the injury is going to cause anything, but it might be weighing in. He was short-arming balls. Dylan, are you worried about the quarterback play on this team going into the Super Bowl with 3.5 minutes remaining, just for the record?
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. Am I worried about the quarterback play? No, I'm not. I think he'll be okay. I mean, I didn't even know the thing about the shoulder, but I'll tell you, shoulder injuries suck. But I don't think you can glean much on this game as like how his shoulder was performing. It was cold, it was weird. Weather, the wind was weird, like throws were going to be bad. They weren't really throwing the ball to begin with, especially if with 9 minutes left in the game, they did not throw the ball like once, except for when they were like, okay, hike it and throw it out of bounds on purpose. So, I'm not, I don't know. We'll probably have to wait for like the first drive to see how his shoulder's doing. As for the Super Bowl, or I guess as for the team, the Patriots in general, no one's touched on it yet. This team is sort of, it's sort of reminiscent of two teams that I remember, the Bengals going to the Super Bowl a few years ago when everybody said I was probably 1 year too early. And then whatever team got absolutely destroyed by the Broncos, whatever year that was.
The
Panthers.
Panthers.
Yeah, so this is kind of what I think the general population outside of New England's feeling of this team, maybe a cross between those two, not as bad as the Panthers, but maybe not as good as
Well, the
the
Panthers were unbelievable that year, though. They only lost one game.
Yeah, but nobody picked them to win.
I think I did. I can't remember though.
Anyway, I could be wrong on that. I just remember they got absolutely destroyed, and it was like this is like not a good team. So anyway, so I think that's like a good enough assessment but it doesn't paint the whole picture. Because we're going up against Sam Darnold and the Seahawks, and I still think Sam Darnold is like, I don't know why, but I feel like he still hasn't proven himself. I mean, I think this year and last year kind of do it, but I don't know why. I just don't feel it yet. The team's good, but anyway. As for the Patriots season, I know there's like probably 30 seconds left. As for the season, to Cam's point, you play who you play, you win who you win. I don't think it, you can't discredit it, but you can't put too much stock in it to begin with. Like, we got here, we beat the teams you had to win, be we won games kind of weirdly, but we got the win, so it is what it is. You can't be upset, but you take it, obviously. So yeah, that's kind of it.
All right, we're right up against it, so we'll come back. Recording in progress. All right, I got cut off there, but we were able to jump right back into a meeting, which is great news. Thank you, Zoom, climbing the rankings. All right, so from the Broncos perspective, oh, my last Patriots thought is it's awesome that we're all the way back because you go online and everyone is furious, and you have Bills fans rooting for the Broncos who just eliminated them, and now they're making Seahawk logos, and the Jets having to deal with the Patriots versus Darnold. The Titans fans are upset. Everybody's upset at us. Everyone hates us. It's awesome. We're back.
I stand by what I said, and I've said this from the beginning, that you guys have a real shot to make it here. Why not this year? But you better win it this year. I do not think you'll be back.
We'll see. I we're
I stand
we've
by
got
it.
the we've got the head
Here,
coach,
here.
we've got a good defense, and we've got the quarterback. And I think those three things give you a shot every year. If you can have those three
Yeah,
things, you're gonna have a shot.
I think AFC's back. I think this is the year to do it. That's just what I've stood by.
We'll talk more about it at a later date, but I think we have climbed into that Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Ravens conversation. I think we're in there. I think the Broncos might be too. Speaking of, Broncos did not help themselves in this game. They were up against it with Stidham. I get that. But they had something working in the first quarter. And Stidham looked confident. He did not look bad. He looked how I kind of expected him to look. And then the turnovers happened. The play with the throwing the ball backwards is inexcusable. It's something that Josh Allen does. It's something that I worry about Drake May doing. He has tried to stretch out plays sometimes, especially in these playoffs, where it should just be take the sack and live to play another down. That was brain dead what he did. However, I don't think it's the biggest mistake. Obviously, a lot has been made about the field goal situation. And I've said a million times on this show, take the goddamn points. And these coaches continue to not. The Patriots did it too. They ended up settling for three, so it didn't really matter. But I don't think the Patriots picked up that first down. I think that was a bad call and a bad spot and a bad review. But so both teams did it. But the Broncos obviously. They have a chance to tie up the game and they're trying to push for the 14 and they don't get it. And they have to know a snowstorm's coming. I didn't know the snow was coming until Dylan mentioned it about halfway through the first quarter. He's like, snow in 30 minutes. I had no clue, but you got to think that they know. What a brain dead decision by the head coach. You have to know what kind of game this is. The Broncos had moved the ball somewhat, not very well. The Patriots couldn't move the ball. You got to know this is going to be a field goal game. This is going to come down to a field goal. You don't leave points on the board there. If you're scoring and scoring and scoring and they're scoring and scoring, fine. That's not what it was. Everybody knew that's not what it was going in. As soon as you saw the Patriots go up against the Broncos defense, you said, this is going to be a rock fight. This is going to be a low scoring affair. And I cannot believe that these guys are the slaves to the nerds like they are. And part of this goes into the defensive head coach thing. I think that, these offensive guys, they get too infatuated with their plays and they want to run plays. But just disappointing for the Broncos. I saw that the kicker, obviously they had the block kick. That's a huge play for the Patriots, but the kicker's saying that he lined up a yard too shallow because he couldn't see on the snow. Grow up. You're professional. You've done this a bajillion times. Know what you're doing. So not a lot of sympathy there for that. This is a good team with Bo Nix. They probably beat us. I can admit that. However, they didn't have Bo Nix, and they made some brain dead decisions throughout this game that cost them. And it was to the Patriots' benefit. Tucker, What'd you make of the Broncos?
Yeah, about with the Broncos in this game, I think it's just I'm against you on the, you know what? I'm pro analytics. This is a big
It's
anti-analytics
terrible.
podcast. I am
Terrible.
pro analytics. I think that being anti-analytics is becoming like the norm now. And you know what? I'm going against the norm. Everyone hates the analytics. If the analytics say go for it, go for it. I mean, what kind of confidence is that putting your team to start a game to be like, hey, let's just kick the field goal on
Hey,
fourth and half
we're
yard?
in a tie ball.
It's
First of all, they're at the 13-yard line. It's not like they were at the one.
the first quarter. They've already scored a touchdown. They're not expecting it to be a rock
It
fight.
wasn't
They
tied. It was 7-0.
it was 7-0.
Yeah, two scores is
Okay, so take a
huge.
two score possession, two
It's
possession
so
lead.
stupid.
Yeah, I mean, if they get that first down, it would have been like first and goal at like the
Yeah,
eight,
you still have to score the touchdown.
and yeah, you're
It's
still
dumb.
so far out. It was the
Yeah, they
13-yard
still
line.
have. You still have to score the touchdown, but this is what's going on. They're
Disappointed in you, Tucker. You have more ball knowledge than that.
what's the
I'm
word?
anti-analytics. You guys are
It's like
just basic. Follow what everyone else is saying. Felger
their
Maz told
said
you
it as
analytics are
soon as
dumb.
they did it. Everybody said it.
Let Dylan finish.
Their mouth is salivating at the score there, the touchdown in the first quarter against the Patriots team. If they could get Jared Stidham a 14-point lead, 14-0 with the snow coming, like it's game over. Honestly, if they score a touchdown there, we don't win. Like,
I
so
argue that if
I
you
don't.
kick the field goal, you don't win.
I agree with Cam. I think if they kick the field goal, we go to overtime, and who knows?
Or he doesn't make that boneheaded move because they're not in a pressure situation to throw the ball so much.
But 10 points seems more surmisable, if that's the word.
I got it. Surmountable.
From the first quarter, than 14 in that game by a billion percent. So I'm just saying this is what's going through the mind. I don't
Stupid,
necessarily agree with
brain
it.
dead.
Confidence down the drain for your
You
backfield,
got, hey,
right?
you're 100% correct in situations where it already happened. You are 100%. Oh, wait, besides the fact that you screamed
Go
at
back
us
to the
for going
text.
for it on
Go
fourth
back to
down,
the
and
text.
then we went for it, and you said,
Okay,
oops.
time out.
Like every time you're right, you're
Go
like, I'm
ahead,
a genius for my opinion.
go
I
ahead,
am.
finish.
I'm going
Okay.
to. Every time you're right, like, yep, I'm a genius for my opinion. And every time you're wrong, you're like, eh, I forgot about that. Like, it's just one of those things that you forget every time you're wrong. And every time you're right, you bring it up 100 times. And then you're just like, yeah, right every time, because you just refuse to acknowledge the times you're wrong.
Okay, so we're sitting here talking about a Patriots victory. They won by 3 points. They took that field goal. I was of the opinion that they should have kicked the field goal then. It ends up not mattering at all because they ended up settling for a field goal anyway. If they don't get that first down, if they don't get that call, which was easily could have easily gone the other way. I didn't see him get the first down. I don't think it was a first down. But if they don't get that, we're not sitting here talking about how the Patriots won by 3 points. We're talking about maybe the Patriots won in overtime, maybe the Broncos won in overtime. Maybe things are different. Cam's right. They have to throw late in the game in the snow because they're down by three. Like, I'm not claiming I'm right. Every single time a coach does this, I am against it. I'm not saying it worked out, blah, blah, blah. Every single time. If you want to get on me, last week, they did go for it and got it, and they ended up scoring a touchdown on it. This one, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I've been against it all year. And the analytics, why even coach the game? Why even have the coaches there if you're just going to listen to the computer? Just have the computer drop the plays, have the computer make the game plan, do what the computer says. It is a
This is what
human game, a human element to this game. Going up two scores means something to players, to coaches, to the fans. It makes a difference. There is a non-measurable element in this game where if they go up two scores, it makes it a lot harder for us to come back. Cam, we haven't gotten your opinion on it.
No, I'm just going back to our text. I said no points is absurd there, right, during that decision. Are we just
Wasn't even
talking
a
about the
good fourth down
game?
play.
It was
No, they
stupid.
took a timeout
They
too.
took a timeout
Don't
too.
drop
That's
the ball.
insane.
Your
It's
offensive
so pathetic.
line is plenty good enough to get a yard.
Best in the league.
They really are. And you just don't trust him. And Sean Payton like laughed about it after the game. He's a bonehead breeze. What's the word?
Merchant.
Merchant. Yeah. Breeze bounty merchant. The game itself, is that what we're talking about?
I mean, whatever you want on the Broncos, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they lost the game for themselves. Like Drake was whatever. He was playing very, very cautiously. So I think that the whole no turnover thing was probably said to him.
Drilled into him.
Yeah, like even if you have to miss throws, fuck your completion percentage. Because he didn't look confident on a single throw, I don't think, except when he was throwing to Mac Hollins for some reason. He was the best quarterback receiver duo in the NFL.
Mac Hollins is an unbelievable X factor that not on my bingo card.
Weird one, but I think it's just let the boys play this next game. It's going to be everything's on the table. Go win the football game, however you need to do it.
We got a lot to talk about next week for sure. But let's move on to the NFC Championship. The Seahawks going back to the Super Bowl since the first time since 2015,
Real
2014 season.
football.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a good game, and I think that going into the game, I felt it was going to be a high scoring good game. Just because you're not going to get two of those defensive battles in one game in 1 week. So, watching this game, I kind of blacked out. I think I was in like such disbelief from the fact that we're going back to Super Bowl that I wasn't paying that much attention. I was also on Twitter just laughing, but my takeaways from the game are Darnold is playing unbelievably well. Even in the regular season, he was good, but he turned the ball over a ton. And he is not making any sort of bad throws here. They were down the running back. What's the one that they're missing? Charbonnet. That was the one on my fantasy team. They're missing Charbonnet, but they didn't lose a step. Kenneth Walker is kind of a badass. They have the best receiver in the league, in my opinion, JSN. That one-handed catch was unbelievable. Just so seamless, like nothing. And the defense is a wrecking crew. And they're not really there's a lot of no names, I feel like. Obviously, you have some retreads like Lawrence. Tariq Woolen's a name. But they're kind of making names for themselves. With the Williams cat, number 99, he's good. They're similar to the Pats, and they have a really good interior pass rush. I don't know. I think their exterior pass rush is good. I don't think they're great. But they're
Marcus
just this.
Lawrence.
Yeah, he's old though. He's good.
Yeah.
Like I said, like I
Smart
don't think.
playmaker.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they're bad by any means. But their interior pass rush, I think, is the star of the show. That's all I'm saying.
Couple giants on that defense, Julian Love and Leonard Williams. Great, great
Is it
players
Leonard
for us.
Williams? I thought it was him.
Great players for us, by the way.
Yeah. I thought that was him, Cam. And then they said his name, and I was like, no, the guy wasn't Leonard, but I was seeing his face. But I guess it was. So that's tough. But yeah, the Seahawks are, I think, wire to wire, the best team in the NFL. I've been the whole year. I didn't pay much attention to them in the regular season. They were just good. They weren't flashy. They had Sam Darnold, which I'm still waiting on the pumpkin game. And that's my one hope is that the pumpkin game will come. It did not come today, or this weekend. Dylan, what did you make of the Seahawks in this one?
I actually didn't watch too much of this game. What I will say, is that I don't like the Seahawks. I don't believe in them. I don't know why. I think, to Trey's point in the chat, it has to do with the uniforms, and it has to do with Sam Darnold. I just
Candy ass uniforms
I
for
don't believe
sure.
him. And nothing would make more sense. Like the Patriots winning this Super Bowl, it's like, oh, it's easy because like we had an easy schedule and we cakewalked our way to the Super Bowl and now we get to play Sam Darnold and we win. On the flip side, think about it from the Seahawks point of view. Candy ass uniforms. They play against a quote unquote weak team, and they're playing in the softest Super Bowl of my lifetime in San Francisco at 3 p.m. in the sun with a hundred. It's going to be 100 degrees
I
outside.
hate the Sun games, the
The
Sun Super Bowls. I hate them.
color scheme is like the rainbow. Not to say that that's like an anti whatever thing, but it is the rainbow. Like it is literally the candiest Super Bowl of all time. So if they're gonna win, it makes sense now. I'm just throwing that out there.
Cam, Seahawks, you think this team is very good. We've kept saying all week, all year, all playoff, it is Sam Darnold. But that
Yeah.
has not come to fruition yet.
I don't think it will.
What do you think about the Hawks?
I'm just glad that I got my Rams to cover 8.5. It was all I cared about. I had some choice words. I didn't mean them. I was always going to be safe. Let me just get that out there. I wasn't going to do anything to harm myself. But it was an intense game for me. And I would have liked to see the Stafford versus May matchup. Unfortunately, potential head coach Chris Shula is certainly not on anybody's radar anymore, right? Because that was one of the most mismatched coordinator battles I've maybe ever witnessed in a game of this size. Clint Kubiak did whatever he wanted out there. Sam Darnold was throwing to JSN wherever he wanted. He had him lined up in so many different positions. I mean, Matt Stafford just couldn't do enough. And then, at the end of the game, he had a chance to do it and he couldn't. So props to the Seahawks. This is a really, really good game. It came down to mistakes once again. The Seahawks made none. The Rams muffed a punt. And, you lose by 4 points. You think what would have happened? But Stafford's a really good dude. I think he does play again. I think McVay's always going to be a contender. After the game, Stafford said, "Go get your Super Bowl to Cooper Kupp." Just a good dude, good family guy, and it's a good game.
Tuck, you've been on the Hawks since the start of the playoffs. Took them, wanted to take them as massive favorites against San Francisco. Took them again this week in the parlay. What are you seeing from this team that has you so confident in them?
They're the best team in the NFC. Point blank, period. I think they have been all season. They're well-rounded. They're really good on defense on top of being really good on offense. They're scary. That being said, I'm happy we're playing them and not the Rams. I like us more against them.
Me too.
They're the better team. They're also more prone to, they haven't been there. This Rams team had been there before. I think that they're the most talented team in the NFL, probably. I just don't. But I think we have a shot against a team like this. This team is, they have a top five wide receiver on their team. They have a decent run game, not a great one, but they're going to have to rely on their pass game, especially against us. I guess I'm more going into previews than at the actual game. But as long as Sam Darnold's like this, they can beat anyone. If you get this version of Sam Darnold, they are as good of a team as any in the NFL history. They really are just that good.
Yeah, so Cam kind of stole my thunder when going into the Rams, but the Rams, I think this was a really tough game for McVay. And just going back to my take and what I've said before about Peyton, I think he's too into the play sheet here. I think he was too into the play sheet, and it cost them. The Rams, I agree with you guys actually, that I would rather play the Seahawks if I had to pick the two, just because of the Darnold pumpkin factor. That's the only thing I'm weighing in. Otherwise, I think the Seahawks are better. But the muff punt is brutal, and he muffed two. He muffed the first one and got it right back. Then he just fell down on the second one, just backpedaling, fell down. They did not cover JSN. I mean, that people are. I heard some people talking about that throw that Darnold made to JSN for the touchdown on the left corner, as like a great throw. I think that's a pretty pedestrian throw. The guy was wide open. What was the other thing that happened that I want to talk about? I forget. I forgot to mention the Tariq Woolen, the Tariq Woolen, whatever, a taunting penalty. How dumb could you be? But they couldn't take advantage of their opportunities, and this was a game that the Seahawks basically played perfectly. And if you don't play perfectly on the Rams side, you're not going to win the game. So, I still have a lot of respect for that team. I think Cam said, "How can you not love Stafford? How can you hate Stafford?" I don't hate Stafford. Wish he got out of Detroit sooner. What a loser team that is. And he's going to win the MVP. So, you get some consolation, but I think that McVay just needs to be a little bit more situationally aware and more focused on the team and not just the offense. Tucker, any outstanding Rams thoughts?
No, I think you kind of wrapped it up. They're a very good team, but their special teams was the worst part of this team this season. They had multiple blunders on special teams. It seemed like their biggest problem, and the fact that it's their downfall. Like people say, offense, defense, special teams,
All three
three
phases,
side,
baby.
all three phases, but everyone kind of laughs at it because the other two just seem so, they're so much bigger parts of the game. But it's three parts, and one blunder on special teams is enough to lose you a football game, just like a blunder on
We
offense or
almost had it with
defense.
Berenguer. He almost cost us that game. It's
Yeah,
supremely important.
he is bad.
It's bad.
What? It wasn't even like he had a bad play.
No,
He
it
just
was
every
bad.
time he punted the ball, it was like, oh no,
Tried to
not him
blame it on the
again.
elements after the game too. It's like, dude, come on.
I
The
tried to as well.
other
I'm
guy
blaming
was
on the
punting the
elements,
shit out of
but
the ball.
it was like we would run the ball 20 yards, punt it to them, they'd three and out, and then we'd be back in the same spot. And it's like, how is this possible? We keep getting significantly more yards than them, yet we are in the same place as before.
Dylan, additional Rams thought. People, would you call those uniforms candy? I wouldn't. They are bright though.
They're
The bright
close.
yellow
They're
is close. You're
close.
right. It's
They're
close.
neon-y.
Yeah.
I don't like the neon. Neon icon. Shout out Riff.
Shout out Riff Raff. What's he up to? Come on the show.
Sharky probably likes the Dolphins. The Rams, I think we've gone over this the past couple of years. Like the Rams are a good team. People, tout them as top of the NFC, and they're many different facets, as we like the term of the day. But they just kind of like they can be a little middling here and there. They obviously played a good game this weekend, except for the muff punts. I don't know. Like they won the Super Bowl, and ever since then, like they were so dominant. Ever since then, they haven't been dominant. They've been good, but not great. They're kind of like the Bruins, if you ask me.
Yeah,
Like
that's
not this year, but like
decent equivalency.
past 10.
All right. So the matchup is set. Patriots, Seahawks, rematch of 49, the Malcolm Butler game. And next week we will break it down fully. Just quick thought. I love our chances. I'm waiting for the Darnold pumpkin game. I like the matchup. I like that nobody's picking us. I like that everyone thinks we're going to get smoked. This feels like 2001. It feels like 2014. People thought that team was going to smoke us too. Whenever we seem to go up against an unstoppable offense, we have a good day in the Super Bowl. So I love us. But I'll talk about it more next week. Tucker, early on, what's the confidence level?
Confidence levels at 6.5, I'd say right now. I love us, but you know what is a really good team we're going up against. We got to put our best foot forward and play. I mean, at the end of the day, I think our defense needs to step up. We need to keep this game. I want a rock fight. That's what I want. I need a rock fight this game.
Seahawks
And
score
I'm,
24, we lose. That's a fact.
yeah, I need this to be like a 17-20 type of game.
Dylan, the Dylan confidence meter is undefeated and coming towards Patriots games. And you seem this is going to be, you seem to think this is going to be a strange game. Where are you at?
I want to put it at 60-40. 60 being Seahawks, 40 Patriots. But I might be leaning more towards 65-35. And to give us like a one-third chance, basically. The reason is two things. Seahawks tough team. The pumpkin factor is the 35%. The other thing is, can we lock up on D, whatever his name is, three named?
JSN.
Can Gonzo, can we play man coverage for most of the game? And can he, just beat him the entire game? Is that possible? If we go into zone, bad news bears, I think.
Agreed.
And look at
Disagree, but
me,
I'll tell you why
6 years
next week.
later. And the other factor is the weather. We've been playing cold football. Well, we beat the Texans at home, at their home field.
How much of it is us being shit, and how much of it is us playing in shit weather?
Yeah. I just struggled being like, okay, here's this week, go play in the snow. Here's next week, go play in 83 degree weather or more or whatever it's going to be. Like,
It's a
that's
fact.
tough.
It'll be 60s. It's chilly out there this time of year.
Whatever it
Cam,
is, it's going to be difficult, in my opinion.
I would expect you're heavy on the Seahawks to win the game, maybe not the betting perspective, but to win the game.
Devil magic aside, I think the Seahawks, I think it's a three touchdown game, but devil magic not aside, because we can't exclude it, I think the Patriots win by three.
On paper, the Seahawks smoke us, but we're not a paper podcast. All right.
I think Dre's too little for the moment. I honestly do. I think the moment is too big for him. I don't think he's that good.
For Drake?
And
Okay. Yeah.
I'm calling him out for it.
Okay.
See
We'll
what you
talk
got.
about it
Let's
next
see
week.
what you got scheduled, boy.
Talk about it next week. Last couple things, NFL coaching related. The first one being breaking news right before the show. Bill Belichick will not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to be held out for this first year. Lot of hate online. People are pissed. Nobody's happy. And it's really kind of heartwarming to see. To me, I'm not shocked. I think there's four reasons. Reason number one being Spygate. People have a hair across their ass for cheating. I still think Spygate is made out to be a bigger thing than it was. Bill at one time addressed it and said, there's 80,000 people at the game. Everybody's recording everything. They were in disguises, so they knew they were doing something wrong. They cheated. They got caught. They should have been punished. But it's not that big a deal. But Spygate rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. That's number one. Number two is his treatment of the media. Obviously, everybody knows about Bill hating the media, shit talking the media members, calling them stupid, ugly, fat. Maybe not to that level, but similar to that. And these are the nerds that vote. They're the nerdy media guys that went to journalism school. And when you stuff them in a locker, they eventually grow up to be the rich guys, and they walk around with their money and make you feel bad. Number three is flat out jealousy. He beat the piss out of everyone for 20 years, and people didn't like him. He was an abrasive guy. He's absolutely a massive asshole, maybe the biggest asshole on the planet. He beat the piss out of everyone, and they are trying to get the last laugh on him. And number four is what he did without Brady. I think that's how it's weighted. He was not very good after Brady left. The legacy has been tarnished with the Jordan Hudson crap, the hatred of the Patriots. the mistakes he's made in Carolina, the not wanting to highlight NFL players, banning scouts, things like that. It's been a mess down there, and I think that's played into it. That all being said, that doesn't make it right. This is wrong, and there's an easy way to fix this. Make this monetize it. Make it a televised event where these guys have to stand up in front of the committee on TV and say what they feel. Make it public. The Hall of Fames, all of them, are a joke. I don't like a single one. Maybe the basketball and the NHL. I don't know anything about the NHL Hall of Fame. Basketball seems to let everybody in, so I don't love it. Baseball's lost its way, and now the NFL is a joke. This is a joke. And one of my takes was that they're gonna change it in the next. It hasn't officially been announced, so they're gonna go behind the scenes and change it and let them in because everybody is furious. I think it's a travesty and a joke. Dylan, you're a big baseball Hall of Fame guy. We've talked about on this show how things are kind of not great. What do you make of Bill not getting in?
I don't think they change it after it's been kind of leaked or whatever. That would be kind of worse. They
That's a
just
wasted take, baby. That's all I'm saying.
need everybody next year is just going to vote him in, I think.
But he should be a first ballot. He's the best coach ever.
Yeah,
Winningest coach ever.
but that's kind of, I think at the end of the day, if I'm him, I kind of respect it.
Hey, I promise you, he
I
doesn't.
don't think so. It's Bill Belichick. He's one of the pettiest people on planet Earth. Tucker, you've been a
Yeah,
Belichick.
but he would be like, oh, I mean, I get it. I understand why they
Well,
did
the
that.
thing is, too, he's such a historian of the game. He talks about the old players. He cares about the Hall of Fame. It's one of the few things about him that you can really get to talk to him about is the
I was
players that have come, the coaches that have come.
NFL 100 special that he did where he sat at the table was
It was
great.
awesome.
One of
It
his
was awesome.
greatest things that he ever did. That's the one thing that I thought of with during all this is the guys that he talked about and met, and the old Browns leather hat players that he talks about is him and his dad growing up watching. And
He genuinely cares about the history of the game, which is what this thing is all about. And they're snubbing him. Tucker, you've been a Belichick rider, even through tough times. How does this make you feel?
this got to be one of the dumbest things that I've ever seen. It's there is no Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit.
What are we doing? If you I can't understand. He's the win, like he's won 8 Super Bowls, 6 as a head coach. The next most is 4. If he's not in it, then no one belongs in the Hall of Fame outside of Don Shula. That's the only coach that is ever allowed to get in, if that is the standard. If the standard is Bill isn't in, and you can give me an actual reason, like there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And you can absolutely say, like, yeah, well, he's nothing without Brady. Yeah, no shit. No one's anything without the players they have, dude. Like, no one's winning with a bunch of garbage
All these
players.
coaches had Hall of Fame
What about the
quarterbacks.
defense
Like,
that won Brady the Super
yeah,
Bowl?
that's the thing is that, like, Brady's entire career had a top 10 defense for 20 years. Every year he had a top 10 defense. It is absurd to be like, yeah, it was just that. Like, there's no, you don't just make the Hall of Fame. Like, they're like, oh, well, it's Brady. It's like, fuck you, dude.
Well,
Like,
here's the thing too, is there's a definite Patriot bias, and I know Cam's probably going to roll his eyes, but the Patriots have three guys from the dynasty in, and a lot of them, I get, no, most of them probably should have come up by now, but the Colts in the same time frame have four guys in from the Bill Polian era. It's politics is all it is, and if they're going to do this to Bill Belichick, they should do it to Tom Brady. Deflategate was entirely on Tom. And
disband it.
again, it
Disband the
might be
Hall of Fame.
bullshit, but if you're going to do this to Bill, then you got to make Tom sit out a year. But you're not going to do that because he's charismatic and effusive and he works with the league and blah, blah, blah.
I'm gonna say
They're
this. He's not that charismatic.
okay, but he's made good with it. Everybody loves Tom Brady. Everybody loves him too much, in my opinion. Everybody loves him. And people don't like Bill because he's an asshole. And that's why he's not getting in. Which
he is.
horseshit.
Like
Yeah,
it's
100%.
crazy
That
though.
doesn't matter. That does not
It
matter.
doesn't. It Ray
OJ's
Lewis
in the
murdered
hall.
a guy. Ray Lewis and OJ killed people, and they're like, eh, well, they were really good while they were here. Like, it's just a joke.
Cam, the outside perspective seems to be aligned with Patriots fans on this, and you obviously you didn't like Bill. You said earlier this Patriots team is not as hateable because it's not Bill and Brady. What do you make of this?
I don't care at all. It's like, yeah, I just don't care. I don't care about much, man. I
You don't
really.
care about the Hall of Fame at all. So if Eli gets snubbed, you're not going to care at all.
I didn't flinch when he got snubbed last year. He should get in. But what he did was what he did, he did. You know, we lived through it. We got to watch what he was capable of. I think it's a snub. Yes, obviously he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. But he'll get in. Not first ballot. I think going forward, if a head coach gets first ballot going forward, it's going to be a big thing. It's going to be funny. I'll laugh.
Finally, a lot of head coaching positions filled. The Bills going with Joe Brady, the Steelers going with Mike McCarthy. There's other hires around, but those two are the only two that I want to touch on quickly because we only got 3.5 minutes left. I think they're both terrible hires. I think that you're just moving in a lateral direction. I think that Joe Brady is going to be useless. I don't think he's going to last long. Mike McCarthy is about 100 years old. They're going to be the same exact thing, if not worse. They might bottom out, in my opinion. I have no respect for him. I know he's won here and there. I think he's cooked. So I have nothing good to say about those hires. Cam, any hires you want, you can touch on.
No, I don't think any of them. Jesse Minter I thought was okay.
Yeah, that one's all right.
I think that Mike McDonald was great for the Ravens when he was there. They looked at Mike McDonald going to Seattle being a great coach, and they just want Minter to be that for them. I get it. Lamar kind of handles the offense, so I don't think the offense is that much of an issue. It's the defense that really needs the work. And Jesse Minter worked a lot with Derwin James. I think Kyle Hamilton could do that. So I like that hire. I just don't know if I love a Chargers guy coming into the locker room. All the other ones stink.
I like Minter. I love Stefanski. They're
Yeah,
winning. They're
Stefanski, yeah.
winning the NFC South next year. I'll tell you that much. 100%.
Yeah, Todd Bowles has got to be gone.
Yeah, this is finally the straw that broke the camel's back with him. That team's going to be awesome. He made the playoffs with the Cleveland Browns. Imagine what he can do.
Won a game too.
They're the Falcons. They won't do a thing. Dylan, any hires that strike your attention, or you on
Not
the
really.
baseball season? All right. That is our show for the championship week. Next week will be a full Super Bowl preview, and it will be a full Patriots boner, baby. We are so goddamn back.
Oh my God, dude,
A
it's so
huge,
crazy.
it's
I can't believe
insane.
we're here.
We'll talk about it. We're going to get into
Ballers.
how unbelievable it is that we're even in this spot. We
And
will.
oh my God,
We will do a
Bills game,
Berkshire
man.
Record style, a now defunct, I believe, newspaper breakdown of the matchups. We'll talk about Babon at the halftime, what we're expecting, what we're excited about. Talk about some prop bets. It's a great
Bony.
episode. So just hit up your friends, tell them to listen to Wasted Takes because Cam was on the Patriots getting to the bowl in week five. There's so many things we've just been dead on about throughout the history of this show. But longest Super Bowl odds ever, by the way. But we'll talk about that again next week. We'll be back next week to talk about all that and more on Wasted Takes. Thanks for getting wasted with us. We'll see you then. So long.
Yeah.